We're going to come to the Word of God now and to a well-known story. We will find it in John chapter 5, and I will read it to you. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, picking up from verse 1. Afterward, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days. Inside the city, near the sheep gate, was the pool of Bethesda, with five covered porches. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, lay on the porches. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew how long he had been ill, he asked him, "Would you like to get well?" "I can't, sir," the sick man said, "for I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred up. While I'm trying to get there, someone else always gets in ahead of me." Jesus told him, "Stand up, pick up your sleeping mat and walk." Instantly the man was healed. He rolled up the mat and began walking. But this miracle happened on the Sabbath day. So the Jewish leaders objected. They said to the man who was cured, "You can't work on the Sabbath. Is it legal to carry that sleeping mat?" He replied, "The man who healed me said to me, 'Pick up your sleeping mat and walk.' Who said such a thing as that?" they demanded. The man didn't know, for Jesus had disappeared into the crowd. But afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and told him, "Now you are well, so stop sinning, or something even worse may happen to you." Then the man went to find the Jewish leaders and told them it was Jesus who had healed him. May God bless his word to us. The hopeless helped. I don't know whether you've ever been in a situation where you felt that it's hopeless. Some few months ago now, I'd gone off down to the lake to spend some quiet time fishing. Many of you know that's my escape. And I'd parked the car and I'd unloaded it and gone off to the area where I was going to go fishing. And when I got out the car, I'd heard a bleeping sound, but I didn't really register why the car was bleeping at me. I just took the view that the door was open, so I ignored the bleep. When I came back, it was now dark, and as I made my way to the car, I suddenly realised what the bleeping sound had been. It was a warning to tell me that my headlights were on. And so arriving back at the car, I got in and I turned the key and there was a click. So I prayed and turned the key and there was another click. So I prayed again and turned the key and there was another click. So I gave up. It was hopeless, I thought. What do I do now? I was out in the middle of nowhere, and fortunately in these days you do have such things as mobile phones. And so I suddenly realised that I had an appointment to get to as well. So I didn't have time to do anything about the car. So I rang home and said to Maureen, my wife, "I need you to come and rescue me. I am stuck out here in the middle of nowhere. My battery in my car is flat and we've got to get to this appointment." And so she duly came to rescue me. The car was left abandoned. And then the next day I had to go back and I had to wait for the appropriate rescue services to turn up and to recharge my battery, which they duly did. And I was able to drive the car home. But hopelessness can so easily come upon us at any point in our lives. Things can be going along really smoothly, really well, and then suddenly, out of the blue, something hits us, and we feel that moment of hopelessness. But just imagine, here is a man who had faced hopelessness for year after year after year. Maybe some of you can identify with him. Maybe you have had a circumstance in your life where it just seems
that it is never ending, where it seems as though that day after day, despite perhaps your prayers, despite others speaking to you, that your circumstance remains just as hopeless as it's always been. You cannot see any way through, you cannot see any way out. In fact, the more that time goes by, the greater that sense of hopelessness. And what this hopeless man did not understand in the moment of his adversity, that there was transformation about to come and break into his life. So that's why I'm so grateful about the good news of Jesus. Because Jesus comes to bring hope to those who feel that it's hopeless. To those who feel their lives are in a mess. To those who feel that they have failed. To those who feel that there is no way forward. To those who feel that they can't get through. To those who feel that there is no answer. Jesus is the answer. And for this man, in this adversity that he'd experienced for 38 years, a day arrives when he's approached by someone. He has no idea who this individual is, and yet this stranger comes up to him and begins to speak to him. You see, God does that. There are just times when, without even us realizing it, God turns up. God begins to speak. God comes alongside us in the midst of our hopelessness and just begins to speak and to ask about our lives, about what we're facing. It's interesting, isn't it, that we read that Jesus knew about him. He knew about how long he had been ill. I want to tell you that Jesus knows about you. He knows about you individually. That's the great mystery of the deity of Jesus, because for us there's a limited amount of knowledge that we have of people. When I was the senior leader at Ashing and Elam, there were people that have been with me for many, many years and who are still there, and I know them pretty well. There are others who, in many respects, I don't know an awful lot about their lives. As I've come over recent months to meet with you here, some of you I'm getting to know better than others. Know a little bit about your background, know a little bit about what you're going through, a little bit about what you're experiencing. But you see, God knows everything about everyone. So whatever it is you are facing at this moment in time, don't think that God doesn't know. Don't think that God has abandoned you. Don't think that God is not interested in you. Don't think that God doesn't concern himself about you. He is there right beside you. This man didn't recognize who was beside him. This man didn't recognize that hope had suddenly turned up alongside. This man didn't recognize that here was someone who had the power to bring transformation into his life. God turned up. And I'm so grateful for over the years, the times that God has turned up for me. One of the most recent experiences was when I was away just at the beginning of this month with Maureen. We'd taken a short break and we travelled up to Norfolk and booked into a hotel. And I have a condition which is called acid reflux. It's something that I receive medication for, and generally speaking, I don't have too many problems with it, but every now and then I get an attack. When I do, it's extremely painful. And whilst we'd been out for the day, we'd had a great day, and then we'd arrived back at the hotel, and it was shortly time for us to turn in for the night. And I began to realise that an attack was coming on. Maureen spotted that I wasn't looking too good and said, "Are you okay?" I said, "No, I'm about to experience this attack of acid reflux. And sure enough, it went into a full-blown attack. And when that happens, usually it lasts for several hours. I don't know what to do with myself. I don't know where to put myself. And so I was on the bed and I was trying to find a position that I could be comfortable in. And I just could not find a place where I was feeling comfortable. And I was in quite a considerable amount of discomfort. And Maureen obviously became concerned. And she literally just came across and she just placed a hand on me and she simply said, "Father, in the name of Jesus, will you take this away?" Within 2 minutes, the pain had gone. Within 2 minutes, it was as if I had not had an attack at all. You see, in my moment of hopelessness, hope came. Interestingly, both Maureen and I were surprised that hope had turned up. You know, sometimes we pray and in our prayers we actually are taken aback when God actually answers them. But that's what God does. I'm so grateful that he doesn't measure the amount that he's going to answer simply based on how great our faith is. This man had no faith. He didn't even know Jesus was. Maybe for you, you don't know who Jesus is this morning. Maybe for you, you have no idea about this person I'm speaking about. Maybe you've never had this divine encounter with God. Maybe for you, this is just something that's a complete mystery. But it's okay. It's okay. You see, Jesus knows. And Jesus does not disqualify you from receiving an encounter with him because he's the one who brings hope to the hopeless. It's interesting that Jesus asks a question of this individual. It's rather a strange question to ask a man who's been sick and paralyzed for 38 years. But Jesus says, "Do you want to get well?" Now it would seem to us, or certainly to me, that why ask such a silly question? Of course he would want to get well, surely. But you see, Jesus understood that for so many of us, we become so comfortable with the condition we are in that the result is that we don't actually want to be released from the condition. We can get to that place where it becomes so much part and parcel of our lives that the thought of it somehow or other not being part of our life worries us, concerns us, scares us, creates uncertainty within us. And that applies to those who face the prospect of becoming a follower of Jesus. How will my life change if I follow Jesus? Do I have to go to church every Sunday? Do I have to be obedient to all the rules in the Bible? How do I pray? How do I walk this walk of the Christian faith? And I've sat down with people who have been exploring what it is to be a follower of Jesus, and they've had some real concerns about what might happen if they were to take that step of faith. And for some of us who perhaps have been living with circumstances and situations year after year after year, the very thought that somehow that no longer would be part of our life and that things would be totally different, it unnerves us, it concerns us, it causes us to wonder just what will happen in this new chapter, which is so different from the past. For me and Maureen, of course, having been at Ashendon for over 40 years as senior leaders there, coming to a point where we were about to relinquish that position and move into a new role of what is supposed to be retirement. I've learned that retirement doesn't necessarily quite look as I expect it to look, but it nevertheless was a new season. Now, in our case, we felt very confident and very assured that God was in that season and that we had no need to fear. But there are some I've met who have had a real fear of retirement, because so much of what they have done identifies who they are. I've seen church leaders who have concerned themselves and worried about the idea of letting go, because if they let go of that particular area of responsibility, how will that then look? What would that mean for them? And so for some of you this morning, the question is valid. Do you want to be released? Do you want to be set free? Do you want to receive your healing? Do you want to come to a place where things are changed and transformed by the power of God at work within your life? Do you want to be well? Interestingly, the man didn't actually answer that question. What the man simply said was, I want you to know, Jesus, that I feel abandoned. I've got no one to help me. No one concerned about me. No one to be there for me. No one alongside me. I feel so lonely. I feel there's no friend that really is there to take hold of my hand at my point of greatest need. We live in a world, sadly, where so many people feel that way, where loneliness is such a big, big part of their lives. When they're going through the difficulties and the heartbreak and the hurt, they feel as though that no one understands, no one cares, no one's ready to help. That's why hopelessness comes and builds within their lives. But that's why we can be so grateful that we can declare what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. In the midst of our loneliness, in the midst of our hopelessness, when we feel that no one else is there to help, there is a God who says, I'm ready to help. I'm ready to be there. I'm ready to take hold of your hand. I'm ready to be your friend. I'm ready to speak into your life. I'm ready to create an environment where your life takes on purpose and meaning. I have a destiny for you. I have a future for you. I have a plan for you that you will see unfold in the days ahead. I say to you as a church, don't let hopelessness become a part of your expectation for the future. Understand that God has a purpose and a plan for you as individuals, but for you as a fellowship as well. And to rest in the knowledge that he is alongside you, that he is working on your behalf, that even you do not see him at work, yet he is at work behind the scenes. He's creating the environment and developing the opportunities that will create that new sense of purpose and direction and opportunity and overflow and abundance. For some of you as individuals, that is the word that God would say to you. As you look at your life, at you're at this moment in time, in that place where you're asking questions, what does the future hold? Father wants you to know that he holds your future. That he is the one that is in the place of ensuring that as you commit your way to him, he will direct your path, that you will know in him that there is a future that is planned for you. And as much as you have been used in the past, there is in the present those things that God is going to do in you and God is going to do through you. And you will continue to be an instrument used in his hands to bring glory to his name and to declare the good news of the gospel. And so it was. The man says, no one's here to help me. And then he made the second mistake, the assumption that nothing could ever change. In fact, the assumption was, everybody else is blessed, but never me. Have you ever felt like that? Ever sat in a church where it seems as though God is moving in power and everyone else seems to be engaged, everyone else seems to be experiencing God's power and presence, and yet somehow for you, You seem to be the spectator on the outside looking in, never feeling the touch of his spirit, never sensing the power of his presence, never feeling that somehow you are important to him. Always making the assumption everybody else's prayer will be answered but not mine. Everybody else will engage and encounter Jesus but not me. Everyone else will discover his purpose and his plans but I won't. Everyone else will hear from him but I will never hear from him. And I want you to know that you're just as important as anybody else. Whoever you are, whatever your background, male or female, whatever your nationality, whatever your gifts may be, whatever your abilities are, no matter what it is that you think you are, recognize that God considers you precious. You are his child. And when this man says this assumption, everyone else gets blessed but not me, he was to discover this was his day of encounter. This was his day of transformation. This was his moment for the miracle that was going to be for him. It is interestingly to read that this all took place when this man was surrounded by many other hopeless individuals. Many other people who gathered there looking for a future. Now this is where the whole mystery of how God moves and what God does comes into play. What was it that created the environment when Jesus identified this man? Why was it that only this man on this occasion was healed when on other occasions the Bible tells us that everybody was healed? I have no idea. See, there are times when we have to recognize that God's ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts. I do not know why it is there are times when God moves miraculously within the life of an individual or within the life of a church, or why other times it seems though he doesn't. What I do know is that his love is without question and his purposes and plans are always perfect. And so for this man, it was the moment of encounter. The moment when he says, there is no one who can help me and everyone gets blessed other than me. Jesus says, okay, here's your miracle. Get up. At that moment in time, the resources of heaven were ready to be released into this man's life. Yet action was needed on his part. See, faith is the trigger that opens up the resources of heaven. Faith is the trigger that brings the answer. Faith is the trigger that enables you and me to come into partnership with what God is wanting and what God is doing in order that through that act of faith, we might receive all that God is wanting to pour into us and to reveal to us of himself. Get up was a command that said, you do that, and the moment you take that action will be the moment your miracle is released into your life. It takes courage to get up. I've been paralyzed for 38 years. I've not moved for 38 years. What do you mean, get up? I suspect all sorts of questions went flooding through his mind. Who is this individual who's telling me get up? What's the point of me getting up? Why should I move? Yet something within him triggered that sense of this is my moment for the miraculous. This is my moment of encounter. This is my moment of transformation. This is my moment when I can discover that the God who I did not think had any idea or concept about me and who I am and what I've been going through, that this God is so close and so available that I can receive the miracle I'm longing for. And so he got up. For some of you, the key to the answer to your prayer is rooted in an action that you need to take. Until you take that action, the resources of heaven will not be released into you. Neither will they be released through you. Until you take that step of faith, you will not see how that God is in play here in bringing about his purposes and plans in your life in order that you might experience the transformation that he wants to bring to you. And as a result of that transformation, the honor and the glory that be brought to his name. But when you take that step of faith, that step of faith will create the environment when heaven will open up all its resources that will be poured into your life, into the life of your family, into the lives of those that you're praying for, into those situations and those circumstances that seem so helpless, where you feel it's so helpless, where you sense there is no way through. In that moment of time, as you take that step of faith, you will see that he, Jesus, is not a disappointment. And so the man took the step of faith. The resources of heaven's power came flooding into his body, and suddenly he discovered that no longer was his description any longer a paralyzed man. His description now was a free man. Free from what had bound him, free from the chains that had held him, free from the sickness that had consumed him, free to walk as he'd never done before. That's what coming to Jesus does. When we come to Jesus and by faith we receive from him and enter into salvation, we are set free. Set free from our past, set free from our failure, set free from those things that hold us. We begin to enter into a new walk, into a new destiny, into a new opportunity, into a new plan for the future. It takes adjustment. See, for this individual, life would never be the same again. He wouldn't be any longer lying there by the pool of Bethesda. So the position he was in would change. The vicinity where he stayed for so many years would change. The people that he was meeting with would change. His day-by-day expectations would change. Everything about him would require adjustment. This will be a completely new life. This will be a transformed life. This will be a life where there was uncertainty. This will be a life where new things will be beginning to be opened up to him. This was a new life of discovery. This was a new life of excitement. This was a new life of possibly apprehension. But it was different. And that's why the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthian church, he says, if anyone in Christ is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. I'm so grateful as a 16-year-old I made the decision that I wanted to walk with Jesus. Not knowing what that meant, not knowing where that would lead, not knowing what the paths would be that God would take me on. But I can look back now over 60 years and say there's not a moment where I have regretted that decision. And now in this season I find myself, I'm still excited, I'm still expectant, I still have a sense of destiny, a sense of purpose. I'm on a journey, I don't know yet what lies ahead, yet I know ultimately what does come is the moment when I step into his presence and I see Jesus face to face. But at this moment in time, I'm just enjoying the journey I'm on, enjoying the opportunities that God is giving, enjoying the reality of the fact that he who the Son sets free, which is me, is free indeed. And so, in conclusion, we find that not everybody was thrilled at what happened. Those who were leaders of the church were horrified. Those who were responsible for the religious law did not rejoice in the miracle that had taken place. All they had was complaint. All they had was, what are you doing? This shouldn't be happening on a day like this. And I just want to say we have to be very careful that we don't allow religion to ruin relationship. And that we do not allow rules to begin to become the priority to what God wants to do. And we'll say to you as a church leadership, be careful that you are in tune with what the Spirit is saying, recognizing that he may not necessarily be saying either what you want or what you like, but you need to walk with him in the direction that he gives. For these religious leaders, their preference was stick to the rules. Their preference was that the regulations are more important than the release of God's Spirit and God's power. And tonight at Ashendon, I will be talking about Samson and how that Samson came to a point in his life when he did not know the Lord had left him. And we as a church and as individuals need to ensure that we are in tune with what God is saying and what God is doing in order that we stay in step with him. See, in Revelation, there were seven churches and they all got messages from the Spirit. The messages were very different. In one case, one church was told, you think you've got it all. What you don't have is you don't have my presence. And one of the verses in Revelation 3:20, that's often used as a gospel verse, is a verse that actually is spoken to a church. Jesus speaking says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone would hear my voice and will open the door, I will come in and fellowship with him. I want to say to you as individuals, as a church, there's hope for the hopeless. If you have faced adversity or are facing adversity, do not think that God is oblivious to that, but recognize in your moment of adversity an approach can be made from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who will come and ask you what it is that you're looking for. As you answer that question, maybe with a negative response of saying, I feel abandoned, no one else cares about me, everyone else is the one that's being blessed, then in that moment of time, he will show to you that you are the person to receive the encounter that he wants you to have, in order that as you say to him, I'm ready for my life to be adjusted and transformed as I receive the resources of heaven, and you take the step of action he causes you to take, you will then know without doubt that you've been touched by the King and he's changed everything. And the final warning to this man from Jesus was this: don't carry on in the old way. Don't carry on with the old life. Because if you do, you'll go back to where you were. May we be people that move forward under the direction and guidance of God. God bless you. Ray Trender, would you close our service in prayer, please?
Father, thank you that you've been here today. The Lord Jesus has been here, Lord. And you've spoken to us through Dave, Lord. And Father, help us just to hear what you said to us, Lord, through the story of this man, 38 years, Lord, there at the pool. Felt abandoned, but Lord, he wasn't abandoned, because Lord, hope turned up, and Lord, you always show up. Lord, help us to listen to what you've said through Dave, and Lord, to take the action that is necessary, Lord, to experience the miracle that you have for us, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's pronounce a benediction to one another. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.
May God bless you, and look forward to seeing you again at some point in the future. God bless.